Wild Talk Radio Network.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com, twitch.tv/WTR live chat. If you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also buy your Star Wars junk in the Fortnite item shop using creator code ROCKINSOCK. Because hashtag epic partner. I am the producer, Sir Rockin. Joined, as always, by the intern, Kane Kittens.
Someone is a whisperer, I swear to God.
We have the whisperer, Keishi Matsunaga.
We did it, everybody. We willed him here.
We willed him here because he made it. All we had to do was play the intro, and he made it. It is the one and only Tim Stein.
Well, let's hope that this works this time, okay?
Okay.
Hey, it works. It's absolutely awesome. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night. It's the Fastlane Review Show. So, Wrestle Talk Radio, what do you want to talk about?
Fastlane.
Life in the Fastlane. Too bad you can't, like, play, like,
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because that would have worked.
But we can't. We're stuck with 8-bit, so here we are.
Because Twitch is twitchy that way.
No, it's not Twitch. It's DMCA laws, and they don't allow that things be played. It's worse on the YouTubes. Can't play anything on the YouTubes.
Stuff like that you should be allowed to, because it's not like you're playing the whole damn thing and stuff.
Yeah,
and
but they can't.
Not like we're making money. Shh.
If they catch like 3 seconds, then people get mad, and then they go up in arms, and then they complain about it.
Up in their arms. Anyway, we're streaming live on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTR live. If you're listening anywhere in the World Wide Web, go to that URL. We've got a live interactive chat room. And sometimes we talk to you, like I'm about to do right now. Hi, people in the chat room.
Hello.
And we're waiting.
Well, they'll talk to us eventually.
Hi,
oh, before we get underway and everything, Keishi? Happy Thanksgiving.
And to you as well, and to any other Canadian listener currently listening now or possibly tomorrow, or if after that, I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving
there
in
you
Canada.
Go. Very well said.
Thanksgiving is in November.
No, Thanksgiving is
surrounding
the
it.
First. Thanksgiving is the like Monday on the first full week of October. That's the proper Thanksgiving.
But that's not that. Thanksgiving is in November.
I like that they have to stipulate that it's not just the first Monday, it's the first Monday on the first full week.
Yeah.
Very specific.
Well, I mean, yours changes every year, too.
Just
theirs is always on the last Thursday.
Yeah.
So.
Anywho.
It's like, who puts the Thanksgiving on in the middle of the week? I mean, that's just nuts.
Other people.
We do. Why not? Because then you have Black Friday, and then it's a long weekend, and then, yeah, things.
Right.
Yeah. So I was watching football today, and I saw...
what happened?
And I saw a Christmas commercial.
Shut up.
Promoting sales for October, but John Legend's in a Christmas sweater with a Christmas tree. It's October.
Weird.
That's okay. They got Christmas stuff set up at Canadian Tire.
Walmart has Christmas stuff already. It's October.
Just don't tell my friend Rose. She goes ballistic if she sees any Christmas stuff before Canadian Remembrance Day. I think you guys have, Veterans Day on November 11th or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. Whatever the date is. Yeah.
It's the same day that we have Remembrance Day. I know that much.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So how about them Cowboys, Brent?
I swear. No. No, never mind.
What? Haven't they been eliminated by now?
Tim, I swear to God. No, I'm tired of this shit.
Hi, Lindsay.
Anyway, let's get in the fast lane, which was last night on the WWE Network Worldwide and here in the United States of America on the Peacock Channel. 5 matches. Was that not enough?
I thought it was good.
Well, the way they did it, you got to remember, premium live events like Fastlane are this century's version of In Your House.
Huh, where'd you hear that one before, Tim?
Oh, that's been around for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Why do you ask?
I tweeted it out yesterday.
You have to remember one thing. I barely made it home on time to be on the show, number one. Number two. Still working my tail off. I don't have time to read your tweets.
Yeah.
Let alone retweet them. Mm-hmm. Or you know, go on X and read about your exes and then
repost them. Yeah, all the things. Anywho.
Elon, you're an idiot.
Well, that's beside the point. So yeah, 5 matches. I would say an overall good show.
It was entertaining and enjoyable, and I didn't have the urge to go and do anything while it was on.
Fair. Brent, what do you think?
I think overall it was a good show. It was entertaining. It started hot. I think, yeah, everything seemed to go well.
So let's get into WWE Fastlane because we'll have, apparently, Pick'em, Brent, didn't go so hot for people.
Yeah, short match or short number of matches means a lot of people.
Means a lot of people, yeah.
Miss a lot, so yeah.
That kind of happened. But we had Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso taking on the Judgment Day for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team titles. What did you guys think?
Did not see that happen.
I think a lot of people did not see that happening.
I think in the grand scheme of things, it makes sense.
Oh, it was brilliant. It was actually good booking, good writing. And in keeping with the current storyline with Jey, it was just a smart move.
Well, not even the Jey part. This move was done to free up Damian Priest.
Mm.
If you had him with the tag belts, were you really going to have him as a double champion?
Yeah, no, that's a little bit of a rarity whenever they pull that trigger. It has to be something on a grander scale. And, you know, not taking anything away from Damian Priest, but nothing going on with him right now that would be considered a grand scale.
I do have to say it is kind of funny that Jey Uso's first big program, being a solo star, is to win the tag belts that he just held for a year and a half.
That's what I said this Thursday. Like, are you really going to? He's been there, done that, so it kind of feels like we're just going backwards with him a little bit.
Well, a little bit, but if the ultimate end of it is the fact that we get Jey Uso in a post pay per view press conference like the way we did for this one,
oh my
worth
god,
it.
Oh worth my it. God, they were drunk.
Him and Cody were just having the time of their life.
They kicked back a few.
That and no offense, those were some of the dumbest questions I've heard from a presser in my life.
Yeet.
We'll get to it later when we talk about, you know, the women's title match and what happened in the presser from that.
Yeet. That's all drunk Uso would say is yeet.
Well, isn't that Cody's fault? Didn't Cody say it first?
What, yeet?
Yeah.
Probably. No, I think Uso said it first, and then Cody just piles on it. That's an Uso move. But yeah, Cody and Jay are tag team champions. I thought they had a hell of a performance. I thought it was a really good opener.
I thought the match was awesome.
It was a very, very well put together match. These guys performed brilliantly.
Certainly a good way to kick off the pay-per-view, having a hot match with, you know, possibly one of your hottest stars. The other one came out later.
Every premium live event should have a hot open.
Indeed. Should make some notes. They said this in the press conference, Brent. It was 9 years ago in September. Cody won his last tag team title in WWE.
Well, there we go.
Who did they beat? The Usos.
Ooh, full circle.
You know, Jay just kind of like, Jay would stop and turn and be like, what?
Yeet?
Nah, dog, it's cool. We're on the same side now.
We're on the same side now. It's cool. You know, been through a lot with him, his father, you know, all the things. We should make note that on the pre-show, we saw the arrival of Jade Cargill being greeted by WWE Chief Content Officer Triple H. First tease for her.
A lot of people up in arms that she didn't make an appearance on Fastlane.
Well, she was on the pre-show. And then they replayed
Don't get pedantic. You know what I'm talking about.
But what did people expect her to cut a promo?
There was nothing for her to do. And it was a perfect time for her to come out of that limo that she arrived in. Everybody's like, oh, Jade Cargill. Okay.
Yeah, it's a tease. They're trying to capitalize on all the talk in the town. That she's, you know, she's hit there, but she's not ready. Brent, in case you know, she's not ready yet.
No.
No.
Not that she's not athletically gifted. It's just her AEW matches. I'm trying to think of the best word to put this.
There was a reason.
They were Goldberg-esque.
Or they had to be on Rampage.
Yeah, the pay-per-views did not do her any favors.
Yeah, so she needs a little bit more work, Cash.
Yeah, you can, I mean, if you watch, like, her first few matches versus her last, you can see the improvement. But, like, if you're going to throw her in the ring with the talent on Raw or SmackDown, it is not going to go well.
Not yet, no.
No, she definitely needs to cut her teeth. And, like, I mean, there's also that whole, you know, they have to learn the quote-unquote WWE style, which is very much a real thing, and... Yes, she'll probably be able to pick it up a little bit faster than someone who just came off independence because she has that experience working to a hard cam. But I think she would benefit from just some polish and working with some of the talent in NXT that are like good wrestlers. And then, you know, getting a chance to work with someone like Shawn Michaels as far as overall wrestling promos, all that other stuff would benefit her. I don't understand why anybody wouldn't want to go down and do some work with Shawn Michaels. So
now let me ask you this, Casey, specifically you. She learns the WWE ropes and then it's time for her to get into a program. In NXT, who do you put her with? You want to get her over, you want to make her look good.
Give me a sec. I'm going to pull up that roster and see who's still there.
I have a good name for you. Roxanne Perez.
And Brent, do you concur?
I think that would actually be a good name. Roxanne's young enough. She's already been a champion in NXT. If you wanted to get Jade over with a good worker, that could be someone.
And it give, because Roxanne's on the smaller side, it gives the advantage to Jade to do her power stuff to show.
Right, that's how she could throw her around and look impressive.
And that's a feud you can build in NXT and take it to the main roster and make them rivals for a long time. Because Roxanne's going to be around a while, and she's really good.
She's only, what, 20?
Yeah. So you can build a rivalry there that can go from roster to roster and brand the brand. And would work. And that's someone you can bring up right away with her. And, like, it's a believable first feud.
What do you figure, Casey?
I think it will work. What is happening?
Brent's eating.
Oh.
Damn it, I thought I'd muted. My bad.
Yeah, that would work. I don't know if it feels weird to do that right away from a sense of, like, what does that do for Roxanne Perez? But from a point of Jade hitting the ground running, she's probably one of the best to start with. Like that whole, like, well, you come somewhere new, you go after one of the biggest dogs in the yard as far as name is concerned, not necessarily size, because Roxanne is small, but that would definitely be a way to do it, to kind of like kick the door down to NXT.
LeMann's asking Chad, do you think there's nothing to remember for her going straight to the main roster? She could go right to the main roster and still work NXT, still work at the PC, and still learn.
Oh, yeah. They've totally trampled that barrier between NXT, SmackDown, and Raw, so why not?
Especially with everything they're doing on Tuesday. They're going to be doing on Tuesday, I should say.
Yeah.
So.
Let's say...
Go ahead. With that, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, they made it a real point to show you who's going to be on NXT. And boy, they won't say his name, but man, that really funny music at the end of the promo of that guy who's probably showing up. They won't say Undertaker, but Undertaker's definitely on NXT Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, how come they played the Gone? I'm going to have to tune in Tuesday to find out.
Because it's spooky season.
It's spooky season. That's all. It has nothing to do with it other than them mentioning it.
Then it's spooky season. There you go. Yeah. Okay, so the other half of that question, if she goes straight to the main roster, who do you put her with? Kishi, now's your chance. Let me clarify. She's going to Raw.
Here's one. I'll be the one who does this one. Natalya.
Well, he did this last time. Kishi's supposed to be like getting in there like a dirty shirt here. This is the second chance I've given him.
No, he can actually pick someone different. Natalya. That's because that's probably where Tim's mind was going. Natalya.
Actually, that's not my pick, and I'll explain why in a bit. Brent.
Candice LeRae.
Interesting. Back it up.
You want someone who has experience that can help work Jade. You want someone that can also sell Jade's offense. Candice can do both. Candice, on the independent scene, wrestled like Johnny, Tommaso, any big name on the indie scene. She fought men and women, and they were hell of a match. So, and Candice, being a smaller stature person, can also sell Jade's power game, and much like Roxanne in NXT, the disparity in size and just the way that would work would be visually helpful for Jade as well.
Okay, Kishi.
I agree with Brent. If just scrolling down the roster and seeing who's on there, Analyst Array makes the most sense. And the nice thing is you can also tie in Indy because they're associated with each other, and that would give it a little bit more distance as far as kind of like you don't necessarily have to go Jade and Candice right away. You can kind of have her come out, start a thing, have Jade like take out Indy, and that kind of feeds into a match between those two. And Candice is good enough all around, whether it be in the ring or on the mic, that Jade wouldn't like get buried on the mic the way she would if she got put up against someone like Becky Lynch or anyone else who's a really, really experienced talker on the mic. But I mean, and then in the meantime, you can obviously have her wrestle some of the other women on the roster too, as far as just matches are concerned. But like Candice would definitely be good because they could do house show loops, and Candice is a phenomenal enough wrestler. Like we just said, like she's wrestled men, women, everybody. So that one makes the most sense. And if Johnny's back, I would assume that she'll probably get a little bit more of a prominent role too. So she'll be around. Why not use her?
Now, the reason why I said no, Rock, when you brought up Natty, everybody knows my relationship with Natalya and Tyson Kidd, TJ Wilson, and I'm proud to be able to call them friends for almost 20 years now. I have in the past backed Natalya as that stepping stone, just because of her ability to get so many people over so successfully. She has made so many women superstars on the main roster that it's incredible. But the problem is, at this point in time, I think it's overdone. And that's why I would not pick Natty.
I think, if Jade is in the Tampa area, it would benefit her to go train with Natty and train with TJ.
I would almost guarantee that would wind up happening.
One would hope that she takes advantage of that opportunity / tool that they have, that she goes to work with them.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time seeing past Candice LeRae myself, you guys, for the Raw roster. But just move it over, Rock. SmackDown roster, who are you putting her up against to get her over?
What the hell's on the SmackDown roster?
You just say that?
Because it's mainly the Charlotte show. Then it's Bayley. Bayley's the one on that side.
You put her with Bayley, okay, Brent?
If you wanted to have a big feud for her to start, which is what you kind of need, Bayley would be the number one. Zelina could work, but
doesn't fit. I don't know.
It doesn't fit. Shotzi doesn't add anything to any kind of feud. No offense.
Okay. Interesting.
Especially with her current placement.
Mia Yim would be okay.
What?
Mia Yim. It would kind of give her something more to do than to make sure every other member of the club is okay.
Yeah, she could work.
All right. You guys will shake your head and say no initially. Probably, possibly, until you think about it. But she goes to SmackDown, and right out of the hop, she's in a hot feud, a big deal feud. I'm putting her up against Bianca Belair.
No.
Yeah, that's the money match. You don't start with that.
If Bianca wasn't taking time off, I'd say yes.
Now,
could do that, but I don't
Those guys both said no. You and I are saying yes. Why?
I'm not saying 100% yes. I am saying that would be a good way to go because both of them come from a similar background of athletics before they got into wrestling.
Yep.
But the only problem with that right now with Bianca having her last match was a loss of a title match and she's been gone. It doesn't make sense from a current standpoint to have Bianca Belair come back after taking time off from losing. And then all of a sudden have Jade come in and start a program with her because you're going to lose one way or another. You either have Jade come in and go over on Bianca, which does nothing for Bianca's momentum coming back from time off. If you do it the other way around, you put out that fire of Jade before it even gets started. So while I agree that would be a good program, it's not one that I would do right now with how things are.
Yeah, I'm looking at only a couple, like maybe 3 weeks. But and here's me being Booker, and you guys are going to be like pulling your hair out in frustration. Power versus power to begin with. And these three confrontations all end in non-finishes for one reason or another. That allows Bianca to come back and get back and depending on who you have interfering in the third match, that's Bianca's program.
See, my problem...
I'm not done. Those three matches are a setup for that payday that you guys are talking about down the road, way down the road. You give the fans a tease. Just give them a taste and then take it away.
If she was smoother in the ring, I'd be more on board with you.
She's not there for that.
That is the downside.
She's not there yet. So if Jade had the same wrestling in-ring ability that Bianca did, that would work. But she's not ready for that yet. So that is something you can save for down the line.
But at the same time, Bianca would do great at getting Jade over.
Yeah, but she's not there. I don't think she's there. I don't want to say physically because she's obviously very, very gifted physically. How do I want to put this?
She's gifted physically, but
her work in the ring is not to a standard that would work well in that program.
Even if
Bianca got her over, the fans would destroy her.
She needs more ring time. She needs more reps. She needs to do it not every other week, every 3 weeks. She needs it every day, more than the 70 matches she's had in her career.
Now, that being said, of course, take into consideration, it's going to be a few weeks before we see her in any match on any roster. Several weeks before that happens. And that's the only reason I picked Bianca.
I don't think that's enough time.
No.
And again, it's a teaser.
You have her squash people to make the teaser. You don't need the big money power. You don't need that yet. For her, she's impressed. Everyone who needs to know who she is knows who she is, and the rest will see her dominate people, Brent, I think, to get that over.
Yeah, the biggest problem I would have with the way that Tim set that up was that the three interactions with no finish, you would lose everyone because of the fact that if no one's going to get over in certain respects, and I understand, you know, getting over isn't just wins or losses, but if you have three non-finishes in terms of like a Jade match, people are just going to be like, what the hell? And you run into the problem that AEW currently has, which is they're afraid to put on big matches because they don't want to hang losses on people. That would be my big problem with starting her off with Bianca, because if you do that feud, there has to be something meaningful initially to come from it. And if it's three non-finishes, then it's, what's the point? Even if you get a match at the very end, it's like, well, it's like 50-50 booking. And that's one of the biggest complaints about the current situation.
And
Very carefully and done correctly, it could potentially work.
It could, but then if you look at the last non-finished WWE booked, which was at NXT with Gable Steveson and Baron Corbin, and people were very mad that it ended at non-finish because it was his debut and it didn't get over with the non-finish. So,
Thing I think they could do right now, if they really wanted to tease those two, is put them on opposite sides of a Survivor Series match.
That would work too.
It would give people just enough to see them stand in the ring together that it would get the hype. You could even have them touch for just a second and then separate them.
Or even in the Rumble. I think that's where you would debut it.
Yeah, the Rumble would work too.
But we'll see what they do with Jade going forward. But let's get back into the premium live event. 6-man tag action. It's the LWO taking on Lashley and the Street Profits. The LWO was down a man. But then Ray made a phone call.
Yeah, the only thing I can say about this match was that was cool.
Team Lashley took the feat as the returning Carlito picked up the win, as he just showed up late because he got the phone call and just made, you know, got there.
He just got the voicemail.
He got the phone call and, you know, got new music and everything.
New music that a lot of people were like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
But Carlito looks fucking good.
He was ready.
He was built and ready to go. Damn.
He's looking extremely jacked.
If you look at the picture of the before and after, they don't look like the same person.
Nope.
Except the hair. The hair is always the same.
The hair is always the same. But anything else, nothing like the others. The
only thing missing was the apple.
Well, it was a run-in. He didn't have time to go to the store. He was already late to the arena.
Someone got the last one from catering, and he was just like, what the hell? And then he heard his music and just had to go.
Yeah.
He said, that's not cool. And then his music went off, and he's like, oh.
So Lance brings up, I had to have them lose in their first match together. Yeah. That doesn't bode well for the group.
No, but at the same time, it would be hard to have... The only way you could have done that, in my opinion, is if you had Lashley and the Street Profits beat just Santos and Rey, and then Carlito comes at the end as a rescue, not as the third partner. The second you had he was going to come out as the third man, you weren't going to debut Carlito again in a loss. And plus, now this gives Lashley a chance to, you know, it's the Imperium thing where, okay, these two guys aren't pulling their weight. I'm going to need, you know, I need to either snap them into shape, or there's the threat of they can be replaced, and you have someone like hiding in the wings from NXT, maybe.
Quite possibly.
I did like that Angelo Dawkins got rid of his basketball shorts, though.
Well, yeah, he's got to move up to the prime time.
Well, I mean, it just when they were first recruited by Lashley, and he was, you know, doing heel stuff but still wearing basketball shorts, I had a hard time taking him seriously as a heel. So the fact that he lost those for this match, I was like, good.
And if they're going if they're going full heel, they probably should get new music.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like the attitude is there, especially with Montez. I don't know. Dawkins always just I don't know.
Dawkins is always too happy.
He needs to
do less talking and just beat the crap out of people. When it comes to those two, he just needs to be the guy who just like let Montez do all the shit talking and have Dawkins just be the guy who's there to beat people up.
Yeah.
So Carlito and the LWO are victorious on this night. Io Sky defends her women's championship against Asuka and Charlotte Flair. Thoughts?
I liked Io wanting to go it alone.
Yep.
Because the whole build up for this was Bailey's putting her in the weird situation, and it was Io almost like, I'm going to get myself out of this. I don't need you there. And you could tell Bailey had that look on her face like, oh, wait. Dakota, I think, was more along with it. She was just kind of like, all right, you go, girl.
So I don't want to do that much walking anyway. I'm still rehabbing.
Yeah. And I mean, ultimately, Bayley helped in the end, but it was nice to see EO not have to rely on, you know, general heel stable of like, I have my people behind me. She wants to be like, no, I can do this myself. Also, Charlotte really needs to lay off the surgery. She's almost not looking like herself anymore. That's the sad thing.
What do you think, Tim?
I think they did a good job with EO retaining the title. The match itself, solid enough. I mean, I can't really say it was anything above and beyond, but it didn't lag.
So EO Sky is still your WWE Women's Champion. And Brent, hey Brent, guess what, Brent?
What?
Do you think EO will defend the title against Taylor Swift at WrestleMania?
Yes.
Oh, fucking God. Oh, my God. That was the dumbest fucking question of the entire press conference. And I love the fact of EO just, like, called it out. When they're like, so, you know, there's someone really big in entertainment right now, Taylor Swift. You know, what do you think about a match with her at WrestleMania? And she just looked at him and was like, are you crazy? Like, just tell her response was like, not even in character, of like, what the fuck?
And then,
they let anyone into the pressers, Jesus Christ.
As I do. But then she's like, yeah, Trent, I'll fight her. If she wants to fight, yeah, yeah. Hurricane,
yeah, sure.
Hurricane goes, says, give me 6 months, I'll get her ready.
Of course Helms would say that.
Well, I mean, if anybody could get Taylor Swift ready in 6 months, it would be Helms.
It would be
not Helms. True. You never know, maybe Kendrick. Kendrick might be able to get someone ready.
Yeah.
But I do have to say, I liked at the very start of the match when they took Charlotte out of it and you let EO and Asuka just go for a few minutes.
That part of it I found exceedingly entertaining and a bit of a callback to Japan.
Mm-hmm. So EO's
got although
it. Go ahead.
Although I would have loved to hear, because they were kind of like, oh, EO's never been in a match of this magnitude. And I wanted to be like, she won the NXT title in a triple threat with Charlotte and Rhea Ripley, of all people. I think that's right on up there.
You know,
I was waiting for someone to throw that tidbit out there, but it didn't make the, you know, the history of it.
But
it didn't make the cut.
It doesn't make the cut because, you know, that is NXT. This Charlotte Flair is the best of all time, Brent.
I know.
She's a 15-time women's world champion. Come on now. Doesn't get no bigger. No, it's woo.
No, Brent was right.
It's not woo. It's woo. No, more. Like, I get more. Woo.
Nope.
Woo. There.
Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Oh, woo. No. Okay.
Wow. No. No. Not for this.
Not for this. Okay.
Not for this. Not right now.
How about give me a yeah?
Yeah.
LA Knight, John Cena, the Bloodline.
Yeah.
First Pat McAfee coming out in Indy. Gotta love it.
Yeah.
Getting that John Cena intro out there. Helping to get John a little bit more over.
Pat McAfee is like a bad penny. You never know when he's going to turn up.
Michael Cole always gets so excited when Pat McAfee shows up.
I think the only
person he gets more excited for is John Cena.
And he got both of them right back to back.
And a pizza, too. Don't forget that.
He got Pizza Hut pizza. But
nobody out pizzas the hut, bitch.
So Pat was there putting over, let's get Indy at WrestleMania.
Everyone wants to get somewhere a WrestleMania. That's the big call.
That's like, hey, you want us? Come pay us. And then we'll come.
Mm-hmm.
What do you
it's
think?
A shame that LA Knight is not over.
Isn't it, though?
It is horrible that he cannot get an ovation when he walks into an arena. Dear God, that place when the music hit.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
when no, he got the hot tag.
The pop he's getting is approaching Stone Cold level.
And dude, it's that, nothing they're doing. It's just organic.
Yeah, it was the fact of people wanted him up on the main roster. And they brought him up as Max Dupri. And a lot of people just did not take that. It was just, no, we don't want this. We want the guy we saw in NXT. We want the guy from Impact. We want LA Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just...
Yeah.
It was, you know, if he had stayed Max Dupri, he probably would have been released by now because it just was not going to get over. And instead, he decided he was going to, you know, no, I want to do what I'm made for and, you know, wasn't put in the greatest of spots, but the people just put him over. And it got to the point where it's like, well, we can't really ignore this. Let's run with it. And now he's hitting that, like, stratosphere level.
Which is great to see.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same thing with Drew McIntyre when he came back and was, you know, going on that kind of face run. I mean, he was still kind of a heel when he hit the Rumble, but it was like the fans were turning him. The fans wanted to cheer him, and it got to that point where it's like, yeah, we're gonna cheer him. And unfortunately, COVID hit, so that sucked for him. But it's just proof that sometimes, like, yeah, if you really get behind someone, and I mean, not just a little bit, but if you really get behind someone, they'll have no choice but to follow. And I mean, Knight is, what, one of the best merch sellers as well right now?
Yeah, top 10.
So money talks, and they're looking at this going, yeah, we really do have something here. Let's run with this.
They need to get 15 years ago, they would have ignored the shit out of it.
They needed for merch, they got to get one of the dolls with the string that you pull. Just goes, yeah.
Or just, like, yeah. Push the stomach. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that would be perfect merch for him. So, thoughts on the actual match, Keish?
I thought it was everything it needed to be. I don't know. Like, they didn't do too much to overshadow the main event or have a hot open. It was the person who was supposed to get the crap kicked out of him got the crap kicked out of him. The person who needed that hot tag definitely got the hot tag. You kind of push the storyline with the bloodline along a little bit, though I have opinions about Jimmy and what's been going on with him that we can save for another time.
Cryptic.
It's not cryptic at all.
No, but you might as well give them now because who knows when you'll be able to give them again.
That's true. That's true. This is my last Sunday because the rocks are sliding. Yeah. So Jimmy cost Jay the title against Roman because he didn't want Jay to turn out right like Roman because they both hate Roman. And then Jay decides to leave Jimmy hanging because he thought it was crap. So then Jimmy just starts crawling his way back to the bloodline and doing stuff that he did before. That makes absolutely zero sense. I don't like it. I'm waiting to see if there's some sort of payoff that makes it make sense. But as of right now, it does not make sense. And it is the first thing with this whole bloodline storyline, in my personal opinion, that I don't like.
I liked the little things that happened between Jimmy and Solo. I think that sold well.
That, like, part is good. I like that part. I like, if it wasn't for the fact that Jimmy and Jay both defected from the bloodline, and then Jimmy started, like, walking back in there like nothing happened, and, like, we're all supposed to, like, expect nothing to happen, I'd be less up in arms about it. And at the same time, he's doing these, like, weird little things subtly that makes me think that there's some, like, long game that he's playing. So I'm still being optimistic to see, like, I want to look at it as an entire package when the whole bloodline thing is said and done to see if, like, that's the one thing that irks me about it all, or if he's playing some long game that I'm not seeing and is instrumental in Roman, like, losing everything, then I'd be like, okay, that's cool. But the interactions that, like, Solo's doing and that he's doing with Solo, and they're like, and Jimmy's like, come on, man! And he's just like, no. And, like, leaves him hanging when he's not looking. He just, like, stands there hanging, turns around, and be like, where'd you go? Okay. Like, that stuff's great. It's just the fact that he, like, got left high and dry by his brother, and he's just like, I'll just go back over here where, you know, I completely kicked the head of the table in the face, and I expect nothing bad to happen from it.
Well, the thing is, there's little things that happened even when the Usos faced Roman and Solo that showed you that Jimmy wasn't all in with Jay. If you remember the end of that match when they got the pinfall on Roman, Jay was the one to hit the, you know, the big splash and everything and got that victory. If you looked at Jay, he was sitting in the corner, and he reminded me of Shawn during End of an Era, when after Shawn hit that super kick on Taker, he kind of collapsed in the corner and was like, oh my God, what did I do? And it was the same kind of look and feeling with Jimmy in that respect, and, you know, led to Jimmy getting his ass kicked. But in the whole of the storyline, it seems like Jimmy got kind of forced out, and he may not have ever wanted out. It was just Roman had his power trip, and that's when Jay fought for him.
Mans goes, I think it's Jimmy trying to get on solo on his side to go against Roman because of the way he's acting. He definitely wants to be the tribal chief. I mean, I could see that, kind of, where Jimmy's trying to play the long game. He didn't want Jay to be it, because ultimately he wants to be it.
Yeah.
And they can kind of spin it that way in some manner, but I don't know.
I was happy to see LA Knight get the victory and not the Legend.
Like I said, they played that out really well. And I do have to, I am here for John Cena's super overly excited phase of his career. Like when he realized that it was like five knuckle shuffle time and he was dancing like a kid on Christmas and not being like, serious, you can't see me, John Cena. I'm like,
the look on his face, his eyes popping out when that happened.
Yeah.
I can do this.
And like the way that he hosted the last PLE, and like he's playing his role as like a veteran who's just happy to be there and not like a guy who's come back to like take the spotlight.
He's not there for just the paycheck.
Yeah, he's kind of there as like, he's just like, oh, I'm so happy to be back. I don't care what I'm doing. I'm just happy to be here. And that's great. So he's doing, I'm enjoying it.
Good to see John Cena when he doesn't have a movie commitment that he has to go right back to work to actually have some wrestling action and take some bumps. Unlike WrestleMania, where he took maybe two real bumps.
Yeah.
Go SAG.
But hey, Cena's run's coming in soon. Who knows when? Coming in sooner rather than later.
When that strike ends, bye-bye, John.
It might be before. I think he's here till right before Thanksgiving. And if it's still, on strike, he'll be back for the Rumble, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that way he's not overstaying his welcome.
Yeah, and they don't need him past that because Roman's coming back. Which he'll be back on Friday for the season premiere. Because, SmackDown gets Roman and Triple H appearance. NXT has Cena, Asuka, Heyman.
Taker.
No, just the magical noise. Not even Taker, just the magical noise that everyone
likes.
We know. That everyone likes.
I liked at the very end of the match when it's like you had LA Knight and Cena celebrating, and poor Paul. He was getting roasted on commentary.
His gray hair. Rake
roasted. With the gray hair. But I just liked the very simple thing of Paul holding up the cell phone and just all he said was, we have a problem. And it's, you don't even know, who he was supposedly talking to. You know what that's supposed to mean. But it's like, it's just a very simple thing. They don't have to like beat you over the head with it. But it's, yeah, just if you heard very subtly, we have a problem. It's like, oh.
Oh, we'll figure that one out on Friday. Main event with Last Man Standing for the World Heavyweight Championship, Seth Rollins and Shinsuke. I now spit mist Nakamura.
All right, we got this twice on the same show.
Yes. I mean, if Io had done it too, then I guess I would have been forced to do it as well when I wrestle.
Well, you should do it anyway, Cage.
I mean, I have...
Do the mist when you go curling.
They would not like that. I would get
mist the rocks, man.
I would get blackballed from curling.
That'd be hilarious.
No, Keish, if you're going to do it, soy sauce.
Oh, no, that is the plan.
What the hell?
No, I had already made the decision that I was going to poison mist people with soy sauce instead of actual poison mist.
Or sweet and sour would work too.
Yeah, but like the soy sauce
that
has the right,
way sticky.
Soy sauce has the right consistency. Plus, the salt content would burn the eyes, so it would still kind of work.
I like how much thought you have put into this. I really do.
Well, that, and it's very easy to hide the soy sauce packets on your person when you're wrestling.
That's true.
Yeah.
You don't need to dip your head under the ring to pour the baggie in.
I do not.
Shit. What do you need? Like 10 packets just to make enough?
No, you only need one.
Yeah, you only need one or two. It's fine.
That's not much.
One is enough because I don't necessarily have to mist it. I could just like, I could spit it at someone like Donatello did in the first Ninja Turtles movie after he got his head dunked in the fish tank.
So, the match.
I thought, I mean, it's a last man standing match. They did a really good job telling the story of Nakamura working the crap out of Seth's back.
The nunchucks.
The nunchucks were awesome.
Oh, that was great.
Especially just, because he could use them.
Uh-huh.
He knew what the hell he was doing with them, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Is it just me, or is this the best Shinsuke has looked since joining WWE?
Main roster, yeah.
I feel like he's very much enjoying this run.
Well, and I think one of the best things for Shinsuke, and this is no offense to him, I think one of the best things for Shinsuke in this feud is that they're letting him speak Japanese and letting that carry his promo.
Yeah.
Because he's not the greatest when it comes to English, and sometimes I think that loses people. But in terms of this, you can do those narrative videos, and it really works to put him over.
Yeah, because when he's speaking his native language, he hits all those, like, the, like, tones of the way, like, yeah, when it's just like anybody who's good on the mic that speaks English, if they had to do it in Japanese or any other language, it wouldn't come across as naturally as it does in your own language. So, like, letting him do that,
I was just going to say, you wouldn't get the inflections correct.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. And, like, the confidence someone has of cutting a promo in their, like, own language, knowing how to say what they want to say, not worried about, like, especially with the English language and how weird it is if you're not brought up on it. So letting him do that is awesome. And, like, you're really seeing, like, he's hitting all those beats.
Should Shinsuke have won?
No.
No.
I could make an argument, yes.
I mean, I wouldn't have been mad if he did, but part of me is the fact that Damien has the case makes more sense to pull it off, like, semi-permanently injured Seth, then if Shin had won, it makes you think that cash-in isn't going to happen for a while yet.
I'm wondering what you do with Shin next, though.
That's true.
Because, no offense, he's not going to take the IC title off of Gunther. If he goes up against Seth again, you know, it'll really start to feel like his run against AJ, where it's like you keep giving him shots and he keeps coming up short and it's never going to happen. And I feel like with this character, they really need something to solidify him. So if you were going to do it, you could have done it here. Damien didn't have to cash in on Shinsuke. You could let Shinsuke have had a bit of a run. You could have let Seth heal for a bit. Because now they're doing essentially the Orange Cassidy role with him of he's the working man's champion, but he's been beat to shit, and so now where do you go with him? Like, how much longer is he going to be able to take it? And, like, you can absolutely have a Damien cash in. That would totally work, but it's also, like, who beats the hell up? Who's going to, like, beat on Seth more next? Because it could be Drew, but we all think Drew is being geared towards someone else, maybe.
Maybe, but now that Cody has the belt, maybe not.
Yeah.
As we get closer to Rumble and Mania, is the chances of him cashing in successfully more or less?
As we move towards Rumble, it depends what kind of reign you want him to have. I could see him cash in, win quick, but only having month or two run.
Because let's ask the question, is Damian Priest your world heavyweight champion going into Mania?
Depends on when they decide to give it to him.
Would you
be? Brent, you said month or two. I'd be fine with him holding it for like 3 months.
But would he be your champion? Is he at Mania?
Going into or coming out of?
At Mania, defending the title.
Going into Mania.
Yeah.
That's what he means.
Why not?
I think the only way you would have him as your world heavyweight champion at Mania is if it pays off against Finn Balor. You pay off that storyline. I don't think Damian versus general name here quite feels the main, you know, like top match, one of the top matches at WrestleMania currently.
Anyone else agree? Disagree?
If he's holding the title at Mania, no offense to Damian, he would not be one of the main events. But they'll have a two-night show, and they could have a bigger deal or a different, you know, like for a change, do the Gunther's title as your night one main event.
Oh, would people would be upset about that one?
I would say this. With Tim saying, you know, oh, him with the belt wouldn't be a top-level main event, what does that do to that title then?
That was where I was leading with that one.
Yeah.
I'd be okay if he had a hot open.
Hot open's fine.
I think Damian could do a hot open, no problem, as the champ.
But if you put that middle of the show, yeah.
No, I don't think you can. Especially if you're gonna put a heavyweight title in the middle of the show and have an intercontinental / US off, I mean, not necessarily right now, but having the other
a women's title match in the main event one night one and a world title in the middle, it kinda devalues it a little bit.
Yeah.
But we'll see. But Seth Rollins still your champ. See who defends that with the belt against the Crown Jewel. Start program probably start tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw.
We have I thought you meant Crown Jewel would start tomorrow. I was gonna be like, oh my god, how long is this show?
17,000 hours before we get god. Crown Jewel.
No, it's one wrestling match per night for a week.
for a month.
It is the Jewel.
Yeah.
I mean, better than the last AEW show.
Man, they don't work out tickets for those matches.
I liked Wrestle Dream.
Yeah, Wrestle Dream was good. Had 14 matches, but it was good.
There were too a lot long. Of matches.
But the shows are too long. But hey, as me and Kay said, when you can stop and start it, it's a great show.
Yeah.
And you can hear our review available now at CBRLive.com for CBRO Not So Live Live. So we reviewed the entire thing last week.
Or when you have to binge the entire thing in one sitting because your work doesn't allow you to be able to watch it the next day. It's a slog.
It is a slog. Anywho, Brent, you know what time it is.
All right.
Housekeeping.
So in the general scope of things, there were 10 people who did pick 'em this week for all 5 matches. Coming in 10th place at 1-4 is Sheila. All by her lonesome.
Oh, God, I'm going to hear about that in 30 seconds.
In 7th place, there is a tie between 1 Keishi Matsunaga, 1
Yay.
Tim Stein, and a producer, Sir Rockin.
Hey! Now,
wait a second.
At 2
How
and 3.
How many did we get right?
2 and 3.
That's what I thought.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that.
There were some upsets here.
Actually, wait. Oh, damn it. I got that. Hang on.
Wait. Did you mess up?
I. Hang on.
Yeah, the answer is yes. He screwed up.
Uh-oh.
It's a quick fix.
Uh-oh.
Let me just look.
1, 2, 3.
I got 3 and 2.
Yeah, he's 3 and 2. Well, give me a second. I will recalc.
And Tim also was 3 and 2.
I know.
I don't remember what I picked, so I don't know. I might be 2 and 3 by myself.
Thanks for having my back, Kate.
No, you're not. Hang on.
I'm looking back through the thing. The chat.
Yeah. Keishi, thanks for having my back.
Three of the people on.
Jesus Christ. Oh, this makes it even worse. Okay, y'all. I'm just gonna say.
I mean, we still probably lost to some inanimate object.
Yeah, it's
they may have something to say about you calling them an inanimate object. All right, let me.
I meant specifically like the eight ball or the wheel.
Oh no, I meant someone.
Oh no, I just figured
I was going to talk about the eight ball and the wheel. That's what I thought.
Okay, yeah. Let me. I'm not filter. Damn it! We're doing this live on air, folks. We're doing it live. Damn it. Okay, so there's that.
Carry the one.
Oh, damn it, you did it the wrong way, you piece of. Okay. Filter, sort, do it from Z to A. There we go. Alright, let me do a quick number. This makes it even better. Okay. So we have a tie in 7th place between 4 people. It is. We all went 2 and 3 with this one. It was the 8 ball, myself, Sheila, and the Wheel. So Sheila still ended up in last place, just there's a tie of us all doing it. Tied for second place at 3-2, so just barely over 500. This is what I mean by having five matches really groups everyone together. Keishi, Lindsay, Rock, Sub, and Tim at 3-2.
Okay.
So in first place, as Keishi called him the inanimate object.
Did not.
The godfather of extreme, Rob Parks.
I would never call Rob Parks an inanimate object.
I think he would be okay with it if you did.
Rob
he's an integral part of CB Radio.
He is.
Rob is a good guy. I don't care what anybody says about him.
He only got the women's title match wrong.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. So was that it?
That's it. This is one of those where only having five matches really hurt Pickup because everyone just essentially went 500.
There you go. But that'll do it for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, it's the Raw Post Show. 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that went down. I guess not on the season premiere of Raw, but on Raw, tomorrow night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night's Iraq, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk Fastlane. We'll talk all the news and notes of the week. It's the Iraq, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern for sure is CB Radio. Whether we do Fortnite with friends, I think depends on baseball. So we'll figure that one out as we go. But the road to 800 on CB Radio continues this Saturday at 11:30.
Sure, but how are the Phillies actually doing?
We're up 1-0 on the Braves.
Oh, no.
So game two is tomorrow night. So we'll see.
So you're going head-to-head against Lindsay then?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that'll be fun Thursday.
It shall, because I think the game for Thursday, so if need be, so we'll figure that one out. Anyway, CB Radio, Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Sunday night for another edition of WTR.
Wait a second, you said game four Thursday, if need be?
Because it's a best of five. It's a
best of five?
Yeah. First round is best of five. They compressed the first round.
No, it was best of three.
First round is best of three.
It was best of three, then best of five, and then best of seven the rest of the way.
In any case, they're trying to streamline baseball to make it more watchable.
And because they added another round. That's why.
They want it to end before Halloween.
Well, it'll end the week after. But it's not middle of November, so that's what counts. Anyway, we'll be back next Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Not with Keishi, because Keishi's gone now. So when Keishi gives opinions, they'll be typed and sent. And then when we do, like, all-time greatest, he'll just send his picks in. So you hear from that way.
I will be here via text.
He'll be the anonymous Raw General Manager of WTR Sunday night. He'll just send them in via text, and we'll just read them things. But he'll be back. He's not leaving for good, just for now.
Do a computer voice for his texts.
That's effort. We'll see.
if I'm feeling inclined, maybe I'll record my picks.
There you go.
Only if you do it in the computer voice.
We'll see.
Make you the anonymous WTR GM.
But we'll see him back at the end of in some point in the winter. Is that what? It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, X, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at WTR Sunday Night on the Facebook and the Twitters. Tim is on the Twitter machine.
Follow me at Flames Forums. That's right. Wednesday night, it's back. NHL regular season, we'll be talking hockey. But I'm also talking a whole bunch of other stuff, and on occasion, I get myself into trouble. Check it out at Flames Forums.
Brent's on the Twitters.
Yeah, you can find me on X or Twitter or whatever, Threads as well, at Kane Kittens. You can also find me Saturday nights doing the Intern's Corner, even abbreviated versions as we had last night.
Indeed. So to stay up on Cache and all the Cache-y things he's at...
Kyle Driver on X Twitter /... Instagram. Exeter. I'm there sometimes. I'm really bad at it, but I'll say that I will make an attempt to try harder. You can also find my merch store on Redbubble. The link to that is in the description of both the X Twitter and the Instagrams if you feel so inclined to support me with merchandise purchases.
There you go. Chat reminder, if you have Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel just by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit card Rocket Sock in the Fortnite item shop. Because there's Star Wars stuff, and everyone loves Star Wars. Hashtag Epic Runner.
Lightsabers!
Send us home, Tim.
Everybody, have yourselves a great week. Once again, happy Thanksgiving, Canada. And we'll talk to you next Sunday night. Say goodbye, Casey.
Have a good winter, everybody. I'll see you when I see you. Links, leather and minks. I spent 20 plus years seeking knowledge of self. So for now, Mark Breck is living life for wealth. Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now. Time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Wild Talk Radio Network.